I had originally looked at the scripture text in Mark, where it talks about the baptism of Christ, which we may get into that also, I don't know. But I've often wondered, and this same thing happened a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the shepherds that were on the hillside that the angel of God went and told about, and they were the first ones to hear about the birth of Christ. Very little is told about them in Scripture. Through different studies and whatnot, when this scripture was written back in the day, however many years ago it was, a lot of people would have understood what they talked about. They would have been able to recognize why it was the way they mentioned it. And the same thing here for the Magi, and I may be pronouncing that wrong, I don't know, but you know what I'm talking about. Scripture just gives them a little short, I guess you could call it, in the book or the Gospel of Matthew. It's in the second chapter, and it begins with the first verse and reading down through verse 12, and it talks about what they did, and then of course what Herod was up to and which was no good. But I started wondering, how did they know to start following this star? How did they know to start with, they went to Jerusalem, and that's where they inquired about where Jesus was born, and they ended up having to go to Bethlehem. Well, it's commonly understood or accepted that these people were from Persia. These three, quote, three wise men. There may have been more than that. It's just that's how Scripture says it. They were from Persia, which is today would be Iran. And that is some 800 to 900 miles from Jerusalem. So this wasn't a journey that they took just on a whim and say, hey, let's go fishing this afternoon and we'll come home tonight. But it was something that they understood that was important. Well, how did they know about it? How did they know that they were to follow a star? Or how did they know what that star meant? And how did they couple it together with the birth of Christ? In Numbers, the 24th chapter of Numbers, verse 17, Balaam talked about the star of Jacob, which is commonly understood to mean Christ. That's how many years before Christ actually was born. And then in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, it speaks about Christ and about him being born. Well, how did all of this couple together? The people from Persia at that time had a close association, I guess, if you will, with the Jewish nation, with the Jewish people, which they're 900 miles away from Israel. But what we forget or may not know is that at the time that Daniel wrote his prophecy was at the time where the Jewish people were, I'm trying to think of the right term, I guess held captive. They were the servants to the people of Persia. So right there, those who had been affiliated with them or who were around them, I'm sure it was talked about on what they were waiting for. And that, you know, because they didn't just give up on their religion. They may have wandered a little, but they still understood the basics of it or had the basics of it. But then we get a little deeper. Remember the story. Go back to the story of Daniel in the lion's den, where they lied about him or didn't lie about him, but caused problems for him. He was put into the lion's den. The king couldn't sleep at all that night. He was so worried about Daniel because he was fond of him, and he was actually a servant to the king. Got up early the next morning, went to the lion's den and called down, "Daniel, are you still there?" And Daniel told him that the Lord has shut the mouths of the lion and I'm fine. The king hauled Daniel up out of that pit. And what did he do? Because of the way God took care of him, the way that God saved Daniel, he made a decree that all the people in his kingdom should worship Daniel's God, should worship the God Almighty, who we know as being the Father of our Son, of our Savior. So looking at it from that perspective, that whole kingdom then began to worship God. They used the Jewish people as messengers to bring the message to them as to what to expect and what to look for. God's in the mission business. And God still, he was then, he is today. So these people, the Magi or the kings or whatever term that you want to use, understood what that star was about. And they understood that it was to signify or announce the birth of Christ. And as I said, they're 800 to 900 miles away. And they took off and they started walking and they followed that star. And they followed it to Jerusalem. And they stopped in Jerusalem. It was a big city. Consequently, I mean, it just would be normal for them to stop there. And that's where they inquired about, where is this child, this Christ, where is Christ born? Where is this child? Well, of course, we know the story. Herod couldn't tell him and then lied to him and told him, "Well, when you do find him, let me know and I'll come so I can come and worship him," which he had no intention of doing. He was just going to kill him. But there's four different items or four different things that I'd like to bring out or talk about, or not talk about, but just to point out. Number one, they were paying attention, those wise men. They saw that star. It must have been something pretty unique to be able to pick it out from all the rest of the stars in the heavens. But they saw that star and they understood what it meant. Well, then they start walking this 800 or 900 mile journey. They trusted in God's guidance, the same as we have to do today. Trust in what God has for us. Trust in what he wants us to do. Trust in the fact that he knows what is best. And he knows what we need to get through whatever it is that we're faced with. They left their country. They traveled a long way. And they had no clue where they were going. No idea at all. And yet they continued to trust in God so that they would get to where that child would be. They trusted in God's promise. Well, they got to Jerusalem. They asked about him. Well, they can't tell you where he is. And, you know, they went, you know the whole story. So they went out and they started following that star again. And that star led them to the house where Mary and Joseph and the baby lay. It wasn't in a stable. In fact, scripture specifically says a house. They followed that star to that house. What happened? They humbled themselves. They humbled themselves before God. They humbled themselves before the Savior. because they knew the promise of that Savior, the same as we know today. They humbled themselves, went to their knees, and praised God for the fact that they had seen their salvation. The same thing that happened when Jesus was brought to the temple. And I forget the names, my memory is pretty poor, but the guy and the lady that was in the temple praised God that they had seen the salvation. And he said that you can take me now because I have seen the Lord's Christ. And this is the way these kings were. They saw their Savior and they humbled themselves. They gave the gifts to them that they had brought, which weren't cheap, by the way. Not that that's an issue, not that that's anything to be concerned with. But they went because they wanted to show their appreciation. They wanted to show that they believed and trusted in what God's word said. And they took that long journey. And they went to the house. And they bowed their knees and praised God that they had seen his salvation. And when they got up from there and everything was all done and they finished having coffee or whatever it is that they did, they went to leave, and the angel in a dream, and that happened a lot in the Old Testament especially, God spoke to the different people in dreams. It does today too, but it's not as prevalent, I guess, if you could say it that way. They said, don't go back to Herod. Go another way. And there was a reason for that, because that God knew that Herod wanted to take the life of the child. And we could go on with about Mary and Joseph and how that they went through the same thing where God told them you had to leave and take the child, and they went into Egypt and stayed a while and then came back. And but the whole point to all of that is that they obeyed God. They obeyed. When God told them something, they obeyed him. They heard what he had to say, and they did what he asked of them. And that's so important in our lives. It's so, so important in our life that we do what God asks of us. Not for any allocates for ourselves, not for anybody to say, oh, hey, you know, you're doing a good job. No. Because God wants us to do it. And there are reasons for it. We don't know what they are sometimes. We don't know what's behind it. There are reasons for him to have us do things. Because somewhere down the road, it's going to make a difference for somebody. And this is one of the things that were some of the simple things that I had looked up and had understood. The term epiphany has two different meanings. It's commonly thought of as an appearance or a manifestation. Well, our salvation appeared that day in the form of that baby. And our salvation is given to us freely, even this morning. In the book of Mark, or the Gospel of Mark, I should say, just a brief, go over the baptism of Christ. All of the land, when John the Baptist was going around preaching, and I found even a little bit, I don't know, a little confusing for me. I mean, some of you may understand it, I don't know, but for me a little confusing that John says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. John was preaching about a Savior. John was preaching about a Christ that was coming. Or actually, that was here. These Jewish people, they understood this stuff. They knew it. It was the hierarchy that was the problem. But those who lived and worked and did what needed to be done to support family, they knew about the Christ that was coming. And when John started going around and baptizing and talking about him, they understood that they had that he was there. And the important part was that he baptized them, or the baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, or the remission of sins. Christ hadn't gotten there yet. He hadn't started his ministry. Christ hadn't gotten going yet. So when we read that, we say, well, he hadn't gone to the cross and he hadn't risen from the dead yet. So how can there be baptism for the remission of sins? All of that stuff was still taking place even before Christ came, because that was the purpose for taking a turtle dove into an altar and sacrificing it. That was the purpose, to show the repentance and the forgiveness that I have sinned and am repenting of it. So they understood that part. But the message that John was preaching was that there is somebody coming whose shoe latches I can't even unloosen, because he's so much more important than I am. And then he says, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. The same thing that happened in the second chapter of Acts, when the Holy Ghost descended upon the disciples. And that Holy Ghost is given to each and every one of us through baptism. Our salvation is assured. As little children, as babies. I've often said it that Martin Luther said that baptism is a visible means of bestowing but God's invisible grace. That grace is given through the Holy Spirit. That grace is given because of what Christ did. So Christ was baptized. And in verse 10 it says, and straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. And there came from the voice saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In John, the Gospel of John, it says that the Spirit abode in him. In the first chapter of John, the 32nd verse, that the Spirit lived in him. Can we say that the Spirit wasn't there before that? I wouldn't even go down that road. I wouldn't even approach that. But one of the explanations that I have read is that when that Holy Spirit was given to Christ, when it was descended from heaven and sat, or was given to Christ, abode with him, however it descended to him, however way you want to put it, it made him complete. It made him a complete part of God. He always has been, but it was a visual reference that the Holy Spirit and Christ were one, and they were there, and he was the one that walked upon the earth preaching the forgiveness of sins, preaching salvation through his shed blood, and preaching the fact that if we believe, or maybe even let's say when we believe, we are assured of salvation forever, to be with him. To be with him forever. People talk about an eternity. It has no beginning, or it has a beginning but has no end. As humans, we can't figure that out. There's nothing there that we can compare it to. The scripture does tell us that at that time, there will be singing and rejoicing before the throne and giving God the glory that he so richly deserves. So when we leave here, even today, let us think on the fact that God is going ahead of us. He's not behind us or not walking beside us. He's going ahead of us. And he's preparing the way for us. He knows what's down the road. He knows what lies ahead. And he's going to be there and take care of things. But he wants us to listen to him, to listen to what he has to say, to listen to what he teaches. Because that's most important in our lives. In his name, amen. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much, that you gave to us your Son, and that because we believe in him and trust in what he has done for us, that one day we will see you. One day we will be able to sit at your throne and to be able to sing and praise you. Because, God, you deserve every single bit of praise that we could ever come up with. So, Lord, we thank you for that blessing. Now, Father, we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.